Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat. Today is Monday, October 26th, 2020.
Bitcoin is straight up flat, staying at 0% up or down at 13,104. But Ethereum took a beating today, down from over 415 to 393, a loss of about 3.5%.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, up first, the biggest story today is, of course, Harvest. Harvest Finance. So there was a $24 million attack that triggered a $570 million bank run in the latest DeFi exploit.
It's harvest time. Yeah, this is, hey, don't say we didn't warn you. This was we did a piece on this on Friday telling you get the hell out of Harvest, and I stand by it. This was not actually the issue that had gotten raised on Friday, which was a problem with their governance. This was a relatively sophisticated attack against the underlying protocol. The high level is that these type of attacks, this was a similar attack to what BYX suffered last year, which was a flash loan manipulation attack. So essentially Harvest does does yield farming across a few different liquidity pools. And part of what you can do is if you manipulate one of those underlying pools, you can then make trades against the actual Harvest pools. So what the hacker did was take out a $50 million USDC loan, manipulate the price of the YUSD, one of the Y curve pools underneath it, and then basically was able to sort of transfer funds back and forth to pull money out. They ended up triggering, stealing about $24 million. But then because everyone was a little bit on edge about Harvest in general, there was then a spike in Ethereum cost and an enormous amount of money pulled out of Harvest, $570 million. You know, these attacks are going to keep happening. These are incredibly sophisticated attacks. It is very difficult. Like, it's hard to write. You have to basically write it and deploy a smart contract that actually runs the attack. They are not like, this isn't an attack people are prepared to think about, I guess, in some ways, is a funny way to say it. Like, this isn't a financial services attack. Like, there's no one that I could go out to right now and borrow $50 million from to go and attack the price of, the stock price of Microsoft. That just doesn't work that way. You know, you cannot do. Flash loans are a totally new financial instrument that we will have to figure out defense, basically the pros and cons of them and defenses against various attacks around them gradually over time. The team has already come out and said that they're going to start making some changes. The first one they're going to make is they're going to basically disable a deposit and a withdrawal in the same transaction. That would effectively protect against this type of attack, because a flash loan requires, the way flash loans work is you essentially, within one transaction, you can borrow the money, you pay the interest on it, but you have to return it within that. So that's how you can do it non-collateralized, is you have to return the money within that same loan. Essentially, it's just kind of a programming trick. It's like, the way that the blockchain works is that you have to satisfy all of the different pieces of the transaction before it commits to the blockchain. So they essentially look at the very bottom of the transaction and make sure that you send the money back to the flash loan protocol. So if you disable withdrawals and submissions, deposits in the same transaction, you can get around it some ways. There's a couple other things that they can do, but I anticipate we will see many, many, many more attacks like this. These are very, very, it's tricky code to write. I've said it before, it's super hard to write this code. These are really complicated instruments. We're going to see a lot more attacks like this.
And Pat, is it true that the hacker returned $2.5 million?
I guess it, he sent back $2.5 million. I'm not really sure why. I don't know what he was going for there. I don't know if he or she was, I don't know. maybe they were trying to do another attack that just went wrong. Like maybe they tried to run an attack and they did not actually have enough. Like, I'm not entirely sure. It seems really strange that they just sent the funds back. But Harvest did say that they're going to distribute it to all the people who are affected by the hack equally, though I don't think it's, you know, it's only a drop in the bucket.
Very much so. All right. And Harvest, they also put out a 100K bounty. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it a bounty. That's what the Cointelegraph article called it. But maybe I would. I don't know. Bounty sure sounds like they want someone to go murder this guy. And for
it's not a bug bounty.
Yeah, I mean, $24 million, people have been killed for a lot less. They say that so essentially what they're trying to do is they're trying to entice the hacker to send back the funds is kind of how I've read this. They all over the place. They say they knew they know who the hacker is. They say that there is personally identifiable information all over the place associated with this guy's or this guy or lady's addresses and the way the attack was done. And so they say they know who it is, but they're not going to dox them. But they put 100K out there and they put a bonus in there also, which is if the funds are returned within 24 hours, it actually is a 400K bounty. So I think this is them. I want to say this is them bluffing. To be honest, like, this is kind of what it feels like to me, is like they're kind of bluffing and they're kind of trying to entice the hacker to send the money back by giving them by basically having a reward for sending the money back. I don't really know how there are certainly forensic ways you could know who the hacker was. It's not all clear to me if that's the case. The hacker was relatively sophisticated. He did take those funds and he laundered them through Tornado. So they are, you know, some of the other ones, they went straight through Bitcoin, went to Bitcoin. But I don't know. I think this sets kind of a weird precedent. Like, I don't really like this idea of a bounty like this. I think that it's it feels like a lot of crypto stuff feels very wild, wild west. This feels like just a little bit too wild west for me. It's really a strange way they phrased it and are sort of doing this.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Moving on. So Quantstamp says Ethereum 2.0 is ready for launch.
Yeah. So the consensus client for the Ethereum 2.0 net is called Teku. Quantstamp just finished their audit of it. They said that consensus was incredibly responsive, was really good about kicking back. You know, when they would give them a bug, they would fix it. Things are looking really good. There are no major outstanding issues. So phase zero of the Ethereum 2.0 launch, which is going to be launching I guess you'd call it a side chain. Like, it's a genesis chain for Ethereum 2.0. It's a side chain to the legacy Ethereum chain, but sits alongside it. It will accept no transactions and just be for miners for the time being. They're saying that's more or less ready to go. So we'll see. I mean, it's October something or other, end of October right now. So we are getting pretty close to the end of the year, but it seems like it's going to happen.
Wow, great. All right, next, open interest on Augur's prediction market passed 1 million.
I mean, the prediction markets are going nuts right now. The US general election is a absolutely delightful time for people to be betting. The current odds are, I just saw yesterday, I went to go look at it, it's 56. So it's paying 56 cents that Biden will win. So the way that prediction markets work is the odds are placed such that you say, I will pay you 56 cents. If I win, you give me a dollar back. If I lose, you keep the 56 cents. So it's essentially like, you know, pay 60 cents to get back 40 cents, to win 40 cents. Based off of it. So right now the odds are, and it's actually super interesting, the odds are actually different for Biden wins versus Trump loses. So it's something like 56 cents Biden wins, something like 54 cents Trump loses. I'm going to chalk that up to, I don't know, I guess dumb people. It's weird. It probably arbitrages over time though, as it's being worked. So that's where all this interest is coming from. But Predictio and all of the non-blockchain based prediction markets are all going nuts right now. This is a very, very popular time. I saw people putting up $50,000 contracts selling predictions on this, which I mean, it seems pretty crazy. My take on this also is super interesting because paying 40 cents on a $60 bet, you know, the current odds out of 538 are 18% chance for Trump to win. So seems like free money. I don't know. The prediction markets kind of overestimate. I think are the first time prediction markets really existed were for the last election, which got blown up by Trump. So I think that they're kind of overestimating the current it's sort of an interesting side effect because they're overestimating from their past, you know, fool me once kind of thing.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, makes sense. Okay. That'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.